महर्षयो वै समुपागताय महर्षयो वै समुपागताये प्रशस्य साध्व इति अनुमोदमानः प्रशस्य साध्व इति अनुमोदमानः उचु प्रजानुग्रहशीलसार उचु प्रजानुग्रहशीलसार यद् उत्तम श्लोक गुणाभिरूपम् यद् उत्तम श्लोक गुणाभिरूपम् महर्षयो वै समुपागताये प्रशस्य साध्व इति अनुमोदमानः उचु प्रजानुग्रहशीलसार यद् उत्तम श्लोक गुणाभिरूपम् महर्षयः द ग्रेट सेजेस वाई एज अ मैटर ऑफ कोर्स समुपागताः assembled there, ye those who prasashya by praising sadhu quite all right iti thus anumodamanah all approving uchuhu said praja anugraha doing good to the living entity. Shilasaraha, qualitatively powerful. Yat, because. Uttama shloka, one who is praised by selected poems. Gunabhirupam, as beautiful as godly qualities. Translation. All the great sages who were assembled there also praised the decision of Parikshit Maharaj. And they expressed their approval by saying, very good. Naturally, the sages are inclined to do good to common men. For they have all the qualitative powers of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, they were very much pleased to see Maharaj Parikshit, a devotee of the Lord. And they spoke as follows. purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The natural beauty of a living being is enhanced by rising up to the platform of devotional service. Maharaj Parikshit was absorbed in attachment for Lord Krishna. Seeing this, the great sages assembled were very pleased, and they expressed their approval by saying, "Very good. Such sages are naturally inclined to do good to the common man." And when they see a personality like Maharaj Parikshit advance in devotional service, their pleasure knows no bounds. And they offer all blessings in their powers. The devotional service of the Lord is so auspicious that all demigods and sages, up to the Lord Himself, become pleased with the devotee. And therefore, the devotee finds everything auspicious. All inauspicious matters are removed from the path of a progressive devotee. Meeting all the great sages at the time of death was certainly auspicious for Maharaj Parikshit. And thus, he was blessed by the so-called curse of a Brahmana's boy. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Trasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sandhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakachala Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. We'd like to welcome all of you for the Srimad Bhagavatam class. In this particular verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam is described the greatness of a saint. So we'll be focusing on this one little aspect of this verse. It talks about the role of saints in our life. In this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first thing that we see is that the saints are talking to Parikshit Maharaj and telling him, "Very good. What you're doing is very good." So the primary role of a saint is to encourage. People in this world don't have hope. They need a lot of encouragement. If you actually travel around talking to people, 90% of people in this world are very negative in their thinking. They always feel something is going to go wrong in my life. Somehow the nature of the mind is to always push you towards the negative direction. And somehow the role of a saint, one of the most important roles of a saint, is to give hope, is to give encouragement, and is to give people assurance that don't worry, everything will be okay. And also, in addition, it is mentioned over here, the natural beauty of a living being is enhanced by rising to the platform of devotional service. Seeing this, the sages were very pleased. When someone is practicing spiritual life and someone is trying to advance in one's spiritual life, the role of a saint is to feel happy in their advancement. And more importantly, the role of a saint is to give one the right vision and the right thoughts. Society is directionless. The role of saints is to give direction to society. I'm going to share with you all many stories and many ways of looking at the role of saints in our life. And this particular verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam is glorifying the great sages. If you actually study all the Vedic scriptures, whether it is the Vedas, the Puranas, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Gita, the Ramayana, the Mahabharata, in all our scriptures, you will find saints giving direction to society. Saints giving the right vision to society. Most people, most of us, are naturally selfish. Selfishness is very natural in us. But only in the association of saintly people, we learn that it is possible to think selflessly. Only in the association of saintly people, we learn it is possible to think beyond your needs. Think about other people's needs. There was one old man traveling in a train. There was no place to sit in the train. And he was standing for quite some time. And there were many people that were sitting around. After a few stops, one young man got up and told this old man, "Please take my seat. I'm getting down." The old man told this young man, if this seat is yours, why didn't you take it with you? There is no point in, you know, giving me a seat when you can no more use it, isn't it? Usually most people, when they think of giving, they think of giving only when it is useless to them. You know, think about your own lives, you know. When do you give? Many times we give clothes that are useless to us. Chalo, we'll give charity. As if we are doing some big favor, you know. Or we give some shoes or anything that is useless to me. That's when I think of giving it away. Or even charity for that matter. When I have so much money that I don't have any use of that money, then we'll think, chalo, let me give. A saintly person helps us change the way we look at every aspect of our life. Dasharatha Maharaj was reluctant to give away his son, Ram, to Vishwamitra Muni. Vishwamitra Muni came and told Dasharatha, "Give me Ram." And at that time, Ram was 16 years of age. Dasharatha was thinking that, "My son has just become 16. How can I give him away?" Most people, when they think of giving something, only when it is useless, then I think of giving it away. That's when Vasishtha stepped in. And Vasishtha, the role of the guru, the role of the teacher in our life, is to help us develop detachment. Give up our attachments and progress on the path of bhakti. Vasishtha inspired Dasharatha to give. And then Dasharatha, after a long period of time, he said, okay, that too very hesitatingly. Only when Vasishtha convinced him that this giving is actually going to be beneficial to you only. He said, you think Ram is going to be safe in Ayodhya? He's going to be more safe with Vishwamitra Muni. Because Vishwamitra Muni has such missiles, such weapons, that if Ram goes with Vishwamitra, he can learn all that and come. Finally, Dasharatha found some swartha in it, some personal benefit in it. Then Dasharatha said, okay, fine, I'll give. A lot of times, saints, when they inspire us to practice spiritual life, they inspire you to practice spiritual life, telling you that you will benefit. Like many times when we come to the path of Krishna consciousness in the beginning days, they tell us, if you chant, you'll have more concentration. If you chant, then you'll be able to focus better. If you chant, then Krishna is Lakshmipati. He'll be very pleased with you and he'll give you a lot of money, you know. Whatever. See, saints can use many, many reasons to make us chant. But after they make us chant and we practice spiritual life seriously and we take up Krishna consciousness seriously, then they tell you, this is not the reason you should chant. You should chant to please the Lord. So the saintly people, they have many strategies, which is for our benefit only. Originally, initially, we are told gross things, because we can understand only gross things. But as we grow in our spiritual lives, we are told subtler things, because as our brains become more refined, our chetana, our consciousness becomes more refined, we can understand subtler things better. Imagine somebody comes to the path of Krishna consciousness, beginning only you tell, you will not get anything by chanting. You should chant to please Krishna. The flow will run away, isn't it? So sometimes the saintly people might apparently give us material motives, but eventually they lead us towards pure, unalloyed devotional service. Whenever a saint enters into our life, even if he enters for a short duration of time, there is some benefit that the saint brings into our life. There is some transformation that the saint brings into our life. There is a big difference between the way a materialistic person coaches you and the way a saint coaches you. When a materialistic person coaches you, that person coaches you on external belief systems. And he creates a transformation on an external level. But when a saint coaches you, he changes your internal belief system. So apparently, transformation is not visible immediately when a saint coaches you. But as you understand what this person is trying to say, how deep his knowledge is, how deep his wisdom is, then slowly we begin to transform on an internal level. Of course, great saints, if they are really powerful, they can transform you in 1 second. Just like in the Ramayana, we find Hanumanji, when he met Lankini in Lanka, he gave her one punch. And in that one punch, Lankini was a transformed person. So now, the Acharyas give us a lot of interpretation of what is this one punch that Hanumanji gives. When this punch we're talking about is not a physical punch. It is a punch on our faulty thinking. The preacher or a saint attacks to make us realize our mistakes. When people would go to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, now Bhaktisiddhanta was a very powerful person. And it was not easy to deal with him.
And he would really attack people when he is talking to them. And some of them, the kind of attacks that Bhaktisiddhanta would give was shocking to many people. There was once a very, very powerful Mayavadi person who was walking in front of Bhaktisiddhanta. And Bhaktisiddhanta's group was walking and this very powerful Mayavadi person was walking. And the two groups came in front of each other. And Bhaktisiddhanta, he slapped him tightly on his face, you know. Imagine being slapped in public, you know. And this person was shocked. He said, "Why do you slap me?" He said, "Your philosophy is bogus. You want tight slap." Obviously, you and me, we can't do that. And that person didn't do anything to retaliate also, because he understood that Bhaktisiddhanta, even when he slapped me, it is for my good only. So here, Hanumanji, we find that he hits at Lankini. So, when a saint hits us, blood does not come out. So the transformation that we go through is on an internal level. You know, sometimes you get one tight slap. Internal, there is some blood clotting that happens, right? And it's a wound on an inner level. So when a saint hits you, when a saint punches you, when a saint boxes on your faults, it is rakta rahit. Rakta rahit means no blood comes out. And therefore, for great saints, there is a word that is used. Saints are called Virakta Mahatma. Virakta Mahatma means what? Virakta. They can make you experience transformation without making you bleed. Now, if you look at the way in the Mahabharata, Bhishma was a great saint. But though he was a Mahatma, he was a Mahajan, he made so many mistakes. And Krishna realized, this person is making so many mistakes, his blood is become impure. I need to remove all that blood, finally make him pure, and then from his mouth, you know, Dharma Shastra can come out. From his mouth, Vishnu Shastra now eventually comes out, isn't it? But till that impure blood is there in his system, only nonsense was coming out. He was not able to speak the right philosophy. Draupadi asked him, she asked him about dharma. Bhishma started thinking. He said, "Dharma is very complicated. I can't speak on it." And then when he was sleeping on that snake, on the bed of arrows, he spoke for days together on dharma. Draupadi asked him, "Come on, that day when I asked you about dharma, when I was being insulted in the assembly, you said very complicated to speak on dharma. Today, how you are speaking on dharma?" Bhishma tells her, "Today I don't have any blood in my body. All the bad blood is gone out." Once we get rid of this blood, then we become virakta. What blood are we talking about here? The blood is mamata and raga. There are certain types of attachments that we have which are so strong, so powerful. These attachments make our belief systems. When you come in the association of saintly people, they attack your belief system straight. And slowly the bad blood goes out. And then you become virakta. You become rid of bad blood. And that's when your saintliness comes out. When Hanumanji met Lankini, it was actually a satsang. The little moment of Hanumanji and Lankini being together was actually a very powerful satsang. But the satsang, though it was for a few moments, it completely transformed Lankini's life. Satsang transforms us in four ways. These are the four primary benefits of satsang. The first primary benefit, the first purpose of satsang is to challenge our belief systems. Our belief systems are entrenched in our intellect. So many of these very deeply embedded belief systems, we accept them as absolute truth without questioning them. From our childhood, there are certain belief systems that we have embedded so deeply into our minds, we can't change them only. Lankini believed her loyalty was to her master Ravan, because Ravan fed her. And she sincerely believed in this. And because she sincerely believed in this, she did her job very diligently. When Hanuman punched her, he made her realize that Swami Bhakti is good. Devotion to your master is good. Loyalty to your master is very good. But before you understand, before you practice loyalty to the master, you should know who is a master worth being loyal to. So Lankini was following the principles of dharma without understanding the spirit of dharma. Lankini believed that she was following the path of dharma by being loyal to her master. But so she was internally justifying that Ravana is my master, I am a servant. But when she met Hanumanji, she realized, she came to know, before you become a loyal servant, you have to first understand who is a worthy master. And so she was saying that, so till Hanumanji came to Lanka, she was telling Hanumanji, you are a trespasser and Ravan is the owner of Lanka. But after she met Hanumanji, she realized, Ravan is a trespasser. So we all start, you know, so the first thing that happens when you come in touch with saints is that they change our belief systems. All of us, before we came into Krishna consciousness, before we read Srila Prabhupada's books, before we joined the Hare Krishna movement, we had certain belief systems. When you come in the association of devotees, the first thing that happens is change our belief systems. Till the point we came to the Hare Krishna movement, our belief system was life is meant for enjoying. And then when we come to the path of Krishna consciousness, we realize that life is meant for serving. And then we always thought that our senses are our master. We have to please our senses. And I am loyal to my senses. And after we come to the path of Krishna consciousness and we associate with saints, we realize that our senses are not our master. In fact, our senses are dangerous. And our real master is Ram. Our real master is God. The second thing that happens in the association of saints, the second purpose of satsang is to reduce our attachments. Lankini was so attached to Lanka. Her name itself shows how attached she was. Lankini. Imagine how much attachment is there, you know. So, with one moment of association with Hanumanji, she became detached from her position and her attachment to the land of Lanka, the land that she worshipped so much. When Srila Prabhupada went and met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the first interaction of Bhaktisiddhanta with Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta told him, "You are a young man. You must preach the message of Lord Chaitanya in the English-speaking world." The first thing Prabhupada told him is, "We are a dependent nation. Who is going to listen to us? Till we get freedom, nobody is going to listen to us." So Prabhupada said, "My focus is on freedom struggle." Bhaktisiddhanta told him, "Today you are ruled by one country. Tomorrow you will be ruled by some other country. Freedom, it is not on an external level, it is on an internal level." And Bhaktisiddhanta made him understand that this is an emergency. Krishna consciousness cannot wait. freedom struggle can wait. Imagine, huh? Prabhupada was bewildered because nobody in the entire country of India will think like this. And that too, this is before 1947. Imagine the situation. In 1920s, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so futuristic. And isn't it true today? We are free from British, but we are slaves to American mentality. British is gone, but America has taken over literally all our mindsets. Every single person's pocket, what is there? American forms, you know, American mindsets, American thought processes, you know, what is there in people's hearts? Desire to go to America, you know. So literally, Bhaktisiddhanta, what he said at that point of time, it hit Prabhupada like anything. Prabhupada said, this person speaks different. That's the role of saints. The role of a saint is to remove your attachment to that thing that you are so attached to. And the third role of satsang is to help you rise from a fall. Satsang does not allow you to remain fallen, but it encourages you to rise to a higher platform. Lankini fell when Hanumanji punched her, but she also found the strength to stand up and thank him. Usually, when you get hit, when somebody hits you very badly, you know, when you get humiliated, do you consider that as a fortune? What a great fortune today, I got slapped, you know. What a great fortune today, I got humiliated. Most find honor very fortunate and dishonor very unfortunate. But a misfortune that helps you remember God is actual fortune. And a fortune that helps you forget God is actually misfortune. When Prabhupada was insulted by Bhaktisiddhanta, he came out and he said, I am happy to be defeated by this saint. Usually, when a person is egoistic and you get defeated by another person, the ego doesn't handle it well, isn't it? The ego finds it very difficult to handle insult. But when a saintly person insults you, actually you are very fortunate. Because a saintly person will humiliate you or insult you not to show you down, not to make you fall, but actually help you rise. In this world is filled with people who are who experience insult all the time, isn't it? And there was once a survey done in UK, and they found out that 65% of the employees have fantasies of killing their boss. 65%, imagine, you know. So most people, when they go through any form of insult, they feel like killing the person who insults them. But when a saintly person insults you, or humiliates you, or punches you, you know, shows you a little down, defeats you basically, you feel great. You know why? Because you realize that that saintly person is not doing it to show me lower, to put me lower, but actually help me rise even more. And that's why saintly people are so great. And the fourth effect of satsang, the fourth purpose of going to satsang, is that satsang removes the deep effect of negative association. Lankini was not bad, but her association with Ravan made her bad. Hanumanji's involvement undid that Ravan-linked damage to her consciousness and helped recollect her memories. Suddenly she remembered, in my previous life I was in Brahmaloka. She was Lankini in her previous life, she was a guard in Brahmaloka. And while she was a guard in Brahmaloka, she was very proud over there. And she was acting very smart. Being a security guard is not easy, you know. Especially if you have to do security service in a festival, you know. Not easy. Very powerful role, you know. And here is someone who was standing outside the gate of Brahmaloka. And she was a little acting tough on people that were coming in. Brahma told her, you don't deserve to be here. He told her, go to the material world and be in Lanka in the association of people who are more egoistic than you. When you are in association of people who are more egoistic than you, then your ego will come down. And therefore Brahma made her guard in Lanka. And imagine what egos are there in Lanka, you know. Lankini, till that point of time, she thought she was very egoistic. And after she saw Ravan, she was like, her ego was punctured literally. And Lankini, in the association of Hanumanji, she remembered her old link with Brahma. And that's what satsang does to us. Satsang revives our old memories. Originally, all of us are pure. Originally, all of us are good devotees. But somehow, in connection with education, in connection with power and prestige and, you know, money and so many things material, an association of materialistic people, we forget our old, tendencies and we become so egoistic. Association of saints helps us in these four ways. And association of saints is so powerful that it can help us transform our hearts, transform our lives, and become the best version of ourselves. When you come in the association of saints, that association helps us understand that I have a lot to progress in my journey of spiritual life. The Keno Upanishad says something very beautiful. The Keno Upanishad says, what is the difference between a teacher and a student? It says, a teacher is someone who knows that he doesn't know. And therefore, a teacher is eager to know, is eager to learn more. But a student is someone who doesn't know that he doesn't know. And therefore, he feels, I know a lot. So all of us, right now, we are students. But when we are in the association of saintly people, over a period of time, we realize that I have a lot to go ahead. I have a long journey to go ahead. And my journey of progress in my spiritual life is a long way away. At this point, I'm going to share with you all some stories of some saints from Vrindavan. And these are saints that have reached another level of saintliness. They have reached another level of consciousness, which we probably in our lifetime may never reach there. But nonetheless, when we study the life of these saints, and we will hear the stories of these saints, our aspiration for saintliness may increase. Our aspiration to become saintly someday may increase. And hopefully, by the association of such great saints through a hearing, we might feel inspired to become a little more saintly than non-saintly. So right now we are very, very non-saintly, you know. We are like Amavasya night, you know. But even if you are an Amavasya, if you are pitch dark night, you should know from the next day onwards, moon rises slowly, you know. Full moon, Purnima, is considered to be someone who is a full saint. And no moon is considered to be someone who is a non-saint at all. So our journey is from Amavasya to Purnima. Right now we are not saints, but we are aspiring to become saints, and hopefully someday we will become saints. So here are some saints from Vrindavan that are actually there, you know, celebrating Rasa Purnima with Krishna in Vrindavan. There was a very, very amazing saint in Vrindavan named Shiromani Mahashaya. And he was a very, very expert in speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. He was a great scholar. And he lived in Vrindavan near Keshi Ghat. And Shiromani Mahashaya, he was so humble that he bowed down to every pilgrim who came to Vrindavan, no matter who they were. And, when someone asked him, why do you bow down to everybody who comes to Vrindavan? You don't know how they are. They may not be great people at all. Shiromani Mahashaya would say, you don't know because we are living in Vrindavan, we are too close to Vrindavan, and we take Vrindavan for granted. But these people live in such far places. They live in Bengal, they live in Maharashtra, they live in Gujarat, so many far, far places. And they take so much trouble and they undergo so much suffering to come all the way to Vrindavan. Their enthusiasm to be in Vrindavan, to be in a holy dham, is what makes my head bow down to them. So this Shiromani Mahashaya, he would bow down to every single person in Vrindavan. And the interesting part was, he would never allow anyone to bow down to them, to him. Even if he was sleeping, and somebody would bow down to him when he was sleeping, when they would get up, they would find his leg in another direction. Even in his sleep, he would not allow people to bow down to him, you know. So if anyone bows down to him, he will turn around. So this was the mood of this person. One time, he was speaking on Bhagavatam every day. He was teaching Bhagavatam to devotees. One old man would come to attend his Bhagavat classes every day. And he would begin just when the class would start and leave immediately after the class would get over. And no one knew who he was. But every single day he came for attending Bhagavat class. One day, this Shiromani Mahoday, he was describing Daksha Yajna of Srimad Bhagavatam. And as he was describing Daksha Yajna, one devotee in the audience, one Vaishnav in the audience, he put his hand up and he said, how can Sati burn herself by her yogic powers? Now before Shiromani Mahoday could speak, give an answer, this old Vaishnav who never spoke till now, he spoke up. You know what he said? He said, do you want to hear or do you want to see? This old Vaishnav, he said, I will show you. He sat right there in front of everyone, cross-legged, facing the north. And he chanted intensely the name of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he began to meditate. And from his toes, a fire rose. And it, you know, took over, burnt his entire body right in front of all the devotees. The devotees were shocked. They tried to put off the fire by throwing water and all. And no matter how much water they threw, the body continued to burn. And right in front of them, this old Vaishnav, he attained yogic samadhi. So Vrindavan, there are many siddhas, many exalted people there. We shouldn't take any of the saintly people in any of the holy places to be ordinary. When we go to holy places like Jagannath Puri, Vrindavan, you know, or any other place, we tend to find people that apparently seem to be very ordinary. But don't take any of these saintly people to be ordinary. They are exalted personalities. And we are very, very fortunate that we have association of such saintly people even in today's times. Of course, it's very difficult to recognize who is a saint and who is not a saint. Therefore, it is good to give benefit of doubt. Assume everybody is a saint. Very safe, you know. Most of the times we assume that everybody is a rascal, you know. But in Vaishnav understanding, in spiritual life, it is best to assume that everybody is a saint, you know. There was another great devotee whose name was Sri Gaur Charan Das Babaji Maharaj. He was a descendant of Loknath Maharaj and he was an associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At an early age, he left from his home and he lived in Bangladesh. And he went towards Navadvip. And in Navadvip, he took initiation from Sri Chaitanya Das Babaji. And he remained in the service for many years. After many years of serving his guru, he asked him to go to Vrindavan. He asked him for permission to go to Vrindavan. And he told his guru, please give me permission to Vrindavan, I'll come back. The guru looked at him and he said, will you be able to return? Like that he asked him. You know. He said, yes, yes, I will come back. And this, you know, Gaur Charan Babaji, he left from Navadvip towards Vrindavan. He said, I will just do the, you know, Chaurasi Kosh Parikrama, I will come back. So he went, did the Parikrama of Vrindavan, and then he went to Mahavan, and he had darshan of Dauji, Balramji. And he decided that that night he will spend in that place, and next day morning, after having darshan of Dauji, he will return to Navadvip. That night, when he slept over there, Dauji came in his dream and told him, he said, you are such a nice devotee. Why don't you just remain here and do bhajan? I'll arrange a cave for you. Now, Gaur Charan Das Babaji Maharaj, he had a little sakya bhav towards, you know, Krishna and Balram and all. So, he was in a very friendly mood and he was quarreling with Dauji that he has to go back, his guru is waiting for him. So Dauji in his dream told him in a very playful way, he said, I will not let you go. So the next day morning, he was in a predicament because he remembered his dream. He was thinking, should I go because I told my guru I will come back, or should I stay because Dauji wants me to stay. So he said, no, better I go back. He put his bag on his shoulders and he left. And again and again in his ears, his guru's words were ringing. Will you be able to return? Like that, his guru's words are ringing again and again, you know. And he left from there with his bag. And he was walking for hours and hours and hours. After many hours of walking, he realized he's still in the same place only. Then he realized he's just roaming around that same place again and again in rounds. And there was a place known as Baladev Kund. He's just been roaming around that place. And then the words of the Guruji came in his mind. And he realized that he is firmly in the grip of Dauji. And he can never leave Vrindavan. And from that day onwards, Gaur Charan Das Babaji Maharaj, he lived in Vrindavan for the rest of his life. When we realized that such saints exist in this land, we realize how fortunate we are. Every saint that comes into this world comes to give us some instructions. He comes to give us some very powerful message. Because that message is not the saint's message, it is Krishna's message coming through the saint. In Vrindavan there is a very famous temple known as Lala Babu's temple. And the temple and the story of the temple is a very instructive story. And I found this story to be a very important story for devotees to reflect on. Again, in instruction of a saint. So Lala Babu, he was a very wealthy man in Calcutta. One day he visited Vrindavan and he just couldn't go back from Vrindavan. He remained in Vrindavan only. And he built a very beautiful temple for Radha Krishna and Vrindavan. And after he built this very beautiful temple, he was living in Vrindavan only. At some point, the Lord reciprocated with him. He's coming in his dream and vision. So at some point, he wanted to take initiation from Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. He went to this Babaji and he asked him, can you give me diksha? And this, Babaji told him, your time has not come yet. There are some subtle sanskaras from your previous life that are still inside you, because of which your bhajan is not perfected. If you burn those subtle sanskaras with the fire of vairagya, then you can come for diksha. Now this Lala Babu was thinking, what is it that is inside me that is not allowing me to take initiation? He started thinking a lot. After a lot of thinking, he came to one conclusion. He was in Vrindavan, he lived in Vrindavan, and he was building this temple. There was another merchant. So this Alla Babu was also a merchant before, but he gave up and he became a saint in Vrindavan. There was another merchant who also was building another temple at the same time. The same time Lala Babu was building his temple, this another person also was building a temple. So it almost became like competition to each other, you know. So in the heart of heart, Lala Babu and this person, they had a conflict. And eventually the conflict went into a court case also. And of course, eventually things got resolved and both the temples got constructed. And life continued. Lala Babu went on to become a great saint and he went on to become a very powerful person. But when he went to take initiation from his guru, from Krishnadas Babaji, he said, "You are not prepared." Lala Babu started thinking, "What is it inside my heart that I have not been able to overcome?" And he realized, "I still hate that person." Now imagine, here is a person who has given up everything. He has given up his money, he has given up his wealth, he has given up his family, he has given up everything. But he has not been able to give up the hatred for that one person. And he is carrying that hatred in his heart. And Lala Babu decided, "I will overcome this." And Lala Babu went to the temple of this person whom he hated so much, there's so much of negativity in their hearts. And he stood in a line along with all the beggars for taking Bhiksha. So Lala Babu thought, if I ask Bhiksha from him, I will ask him the Bhiksha of forgiveness. And maybe that might help me get rid of my anartha, which is holding me from getting my guru's mercy. He stood in that line. And this merchant, when he came to know Lala Babu standing in the line, hundreds of beggars are standing. This merchant came running from the temple. And he went all the way to Lala Babu. And he said, "Why are you standing in this line? You are such a great saint." Lala Babu said, no, I've come here to beg forgiveness from you." And that merchant, his heart was so transformed, looking at this man standing over there, he fell at Lala Babu's feet. Lala Babu fell at this man's feet. And both of them wept tears and they actually repented for the envy and jealousy that they were carrying for so many years. And they both realized that both are such wonderful devotees. But somehow, a little misunderstanding, a little ego, just prevented them from accessing each other's love. And then, when Lala Babu went back to his guru said, "Now you are ready for initiation." And then his guru gave him initiation. Now imagine if that becomes a criteria for all of us to get initiation, I don't think we'll ever get initiation in our life, isn't it? So therefore, we have some little external criteria which are easy to fulfill. Being a saint is not just about external things. It's a lot about the consciousness and the mood with which we live our lives. Unfortunately, it is so easy to get the externals of spiritual life. But it is so difficult and so rare, almost impossible to understand the subtle intricacies of spiritual life. And that's why we need saints in our life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय।